Why do so many people report seeing dearly departed loved ones as ghosts? There seems to be an incredible connection there.
Well, I think that the bonds of love are very tight in life and in death. I think a lot of people move on and they realize that they have left grieving relatives, spouses, children behind. And some people feel that before they can really move all the way through, that they want to assure their loved ones that they're okay, that everything turned out all right, that they're still thinking of them. And so the comfort ghost, what you're referring to, is probably one of the most common type of appearances that people report.
The phone calls, too, that come from some of these spirits, absolutely incredible. I mean, I got a call last week from someone whose grandmother had passed on, and her mother, of course, got the phone call from her grandmother, which was the mother's mother, and it was like right at the moment of death. And for a moment, I used to think that was a bunch of nonsense, Jeff, but I don't think it is anymore. How do they communicate that way? I mean, through a telephone, for crying out loud.
Well, I think it's the same way that they can communicate through other mediums, such as tape recorders or videotape, things like that. Apparently, the ability to create the right vibrational frequencies to communicate is some spirits are capable of doing this. Another suggestion that people have made is that the person is having a type of dream where they believe they've picked up a phone. It's a telepathic communication is what it is.
Jeff, your career is interesting because you've done work in the ghost area with the book, The Case for Ghosts, and also reincarnation. So my big question to you is how can we have people reincarnate, souls reincarnate, which I believe happens, and then some of them just simply stay as ghosts? Isn't it all or none?
Well, actually, a ghost is not a soul. A ghost is the personality that the soul generated. So the soul continues to move on in, you know, back and forth.
Okay, so let's person passes on. He's got a soul.
Right.
That soul may or may not get reincarnated. But you're saying that soul is not the ghostly apparition that so many people would witness?
Right. The soul is generating personality. Each time it comes into the flesh, it generates a new personality. And when they die, that soul moves on because it has nowhere else to go. It's a part of the greater divine mix, if you will.
And but when you say moves on, though, it will either move on into another body or does it move on to what we would call heaven or hell?
Well, you got to think of it like a big figure eight. And one side of the figure eight is the physical realm and the other side is the spiritual realm. And the soul is moving in and out of this figure eight. It goes through one side into the physical. Then it moves out of the physical back into the spiritual and then back around into the physical. And it goes and does this eternally. And each time it comes into the physical, it generates a new personality. And the personality is what's experiencing the things that we call life. But then once that life is done, that soul moves on back into the spiritual realm to integrate the lessons it learned. But that personality may remain stuck in between there, and that's kind of what the ghost is.
Well, now, how does it manifest itself into something that people can see?
Well, it's probably through the use of ambient electricity in the air, what you would call static electricity or ionized particles. As you know, everything is made out of patterns of energy. Every object that you can see is nothing but just patterns of energy. And a ghost is a type of energy as well. What it's trying to do, I'm theorizing, is that it's pulling ionized energy out of the air, enough of it that it can actually create shapes and forms out of its mind that can reflect light and be seen and, to some degree, interacted with.
This energy that's in the universe that these ghosts have been part of, and we're part of as well, and I'm sure the soul is as well, natural, very normal.
Yes, actually, it's all that is. All that exists in the universe really is energy. Now, it takes on the form of matter in the physical realm, but matter is just one manifestation of energy. So there really is nothing but energy in the universe. It's just the way it manifests itself that determines whether you're in the physical realm or the spiritual realm.
Years ago, I read a couple books. One was called the Egyptian Book of the Dead. The other was the Tibetan Book of the Dead. These were books almost like training guides to the hereafter that they tried to, you know, basically teach people before they passed on what to expect in the hereafter. We, in this country, in this society, we haven't done a good job telling people about that, I don't think.
No, actually, in some ways, I think that Western society is more spiritually primitive than Eastern societies. They have been at this a lot longer. They have put a lot more thought into it, whereas we in the West have a more scientific attitude. It's more of we want to see things logically, empirically proven to us, whereas in the East, they understand things are true on an intuitive level. And that's where we need to get back to if we're really going to understand God and life.
If you were asked into a hospital room where someone was about ready to die and they were, awake enough to hear you, what would you tell them about what was going to happen?
I would say that they are just returning back to their natural realm, and that they shouldn't be afraid, that this is exactly what is supposed to be happening. And in fact, I had an experience very similar this last summer. My mother passed away.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
And so it was, there was a process there where I explained to her that, you know, you have a great adventure ahead of you. You're going to be back with all the people that you know, that you've always loved and missed. And so that's what I would tell someone. I would try to help them understand that this is a positive thing that's happening, and it's a joyous event that they should anticipate eagerly and not fearfully.
Is this moving on natural for them, or do they need to learn something first?
Well, actually, you probably need to unlearn things. You have
to
unlearn your fear of judgment, of hell, all those kinds of things that we've been fed.
And what about fear of dying? That too?
Well, the reason we fear dying is because we fear judgment. We fear punishment of some kind. If we really believed that we were going to a better place or a wonderful place, there would be no reason to be afraid.